Happy Sabbath, one and all, and welcome to our Friday evening church service on this fourth day of March, 2022. Already into March. Sabbath blessings to those joining us on the phone, those listening to the recording of tonight's service. I'm glad to have you all in fellowship with us. What a wonderful God we have the privilege to serve, to worship, and to know, and to be friends with, and praise God for his merciful kindness and tender love, especially through this past week. God is in control, dear ones, and even though the skies may be dark, yet we know that God is above it all, ruling over all, and will bring us safely through it all. Our opening song is titled, I Know My Heavenly Father Knows. Can hear Sister Lynn's voice singing this hymn. And for those who may not know, she has come through the surgery successfully. The doctors have successfully operated on her. I do not know how her swallowing or talking or singing ability is. But she does thank you so very much for your prayers and thoughts. I know my Heavenly Father knows the storms that would my way oppose, but he can drive the clouds away and turn the darkness into day. And turn the darkness into day. I know my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows. The storms that would my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows. And tempers every wind that blows. I know my Heavenly Father knows. The balm I need to soothe my woes, and with his touch of love divine, he heals this wounded heart of mine. He heals this wounded heart of mine. I know my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows. The storms that would my way oppose. He knows, my Father knows. He knows, I'm sure he knows. And tempers every wind that blows.
I know my Heavenly Father knows. How frail I am to meet my foes. But he my cause will e'er defend, uphold and keep me to the end. Uphold and keep me to the end. Dear Rob, would you sing the refrain, please?
Sure. I know my Father knows. knows. He knows. I'm sure he knows the storms that would my way oppose. He knows. My father knows. He knows. I'm sure he knows. And tempers every wind that blows.
I know my heavenly Father knows the hour my journey here will close. And may that hour, O faithful guide, find me safe sheltered by thy side. Find me safe sheltered by thy side. He knows, he knows the storms that would my way oppose. He knows, he knows, and tempers every wind that blows.
What a loving Father we have, dear ones. We're not alone. We may be physically all alone, but we know that he is right there with us because Christ has said that no matter what, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, world without end. And if Christ is with us and the Father is in Christ, then the Father is with us as well. And we have to have the Spirit in order to bring Christ and the Father to us. So we have all three that are with us, safely sheltering us by their loving side. It's now time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that prayer for our service and for each one? Please feel free.
Dear Father in heaven, we've seen you work your miracles this past month, healing people and lessening pain, and also giving some peace. And we know that when they open their eyes again, they will see Jesus. Thank you for being with Sister Lynn and for Bob and for Kenny and for bringing them through. Thank you, dear Lord, for hearing us, for letting your will be known, for loving us so much that you gave your son to die for us so that we could live an untouched life with maladies, but a touched life with love for all eternity. Thank you for this meeting. Thank you for those who could attend and for those who couldn't. Be with them, bless them, and send a Holy Spirit, dear Lord, to touch our hearts, our ears, our eyes. May we see and hear all of the plans that you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, dearest sister. We're continuing in Prophets and Kings, chapter 2, titled The Temple and Its Dedication. And we're down about a little more than two-thirds of the way on page 44 to the paragraph that starts out, Now My God. And we ended last time going through the prayer of Solomon. And we didn't quite finish it. We're close. We're down to the last little bit. But this prayer of Solomon was like a sermon. And there were more than just Israelites there. So Solomon had to make sure that the crowd that he was addressing recognized that God cared for them, that he didn't want them to remain in sin, but to recognize that they had done something wrong, to repent of it to God, and then God would forgive them and bless them once again. And to the heathen, that was kind of a different thought. Because, I mean, they had their rules between right and wrong, but it was not always what God termed right and wrong. They had their own ways of doing things. They had their own ways of looking at morality, etc. Whereas God had given a law that dictated what morality was, and the heathen did not follow that law in all aspects. And yet they did not believe that they had committed sin when they broke the law of God, because they had their own way of looking at things. So to them, doing something that was wrong did not necessarily offend their God, because their God could do wrong at times, and yet he was considered perfect. So if their God could do wrong, then there would be nothing amiss for them to follow in their God's footsteps and do wrong as well. But here Solomon is bringing up the aspect that the God of heaven never does wrong. That he's given a law, which is a representation of his righteous, good character, and that he expected his followers to live by that law. And if they had done something to break that law, they had committed sin, and the only way for their sin to be forgiven was to come before him, confessing their sins, that they may find forgiveness. So here we have the heathen recognizing that the God of Israel is different from all of their so-called gods, because not one of the so-called gods of the heathen was 100% righteous at all times. So to recognize that the God of Israel was 100% righteous at all times was a new concept. And connected with this righteousness of God was mercy and compassion and love for his followers, especially if they had broken his law and committed sin. So to the Israelites, they recognized it. To the non-Israelites, they were beginning to recognize it. But Solomon wanted to make sure that the nobles, the poor, the common people, the priests, the Levites, the non-Israelites, everyone that was listening to his prayer recognized that God was merciful, kind, compassionate, and would forgive sins, no matter what sins they might be. And so that's where we left off. And now we come to the closing of Solomon's prayer here. And again, this is about a little more than two-thirds on the way of page 44. Now, my God, let, I beseech thee, thine eyes be open, and let thine ears be attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Now therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let thy saints rejoice in goodness. O Lord God, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Remember the mercies of David, thy servant. And that was verses 14 through 42. Are there any thoughts or comments on this prayer of Solomon? Please feel free.
It's very vivid, isn't it? Thine eyes be open, ears be attentive. It's so bringing it on a level with us, things that we can understand. It's lovely.
Amen, amen. And go ahead, sister.
Well, I was just going to say, he's like, saying, hear my prayer, O Lord. So let thine eyes be open, see us, and let thine ears hear thy prayer.
Amen. Amen. So he's addressing God as if God is there listening. Now that that was somewhat of a concept of the heathen, but they really didn't know whether their God that they were praying to was hearing their prayer. Perhaps he was busy doing something else and didn't hear their prayer. Perhaps he was sleeping and didn't hear their prayer. So when they prayed to their God, there was always that doubt that he didn't hear it. And so that's where the sacrifices came in, to try and gain the attention of their God. And the more costly the sacrifice, the more they felt that their God would stop what he was doing and pay attention to them. And of course, the most costliest of sacrifice was another human life. So they were always trying to do something to gain their God's attention. Whereas Solomon, he's not really doing much. I mean, he built a podium. He's on top of the podium. There's people gathered around. He built the temple and all. But there's no big show that's going on, except he's praying in front of the people. So to the heathen, this is, Solomon built a temple. Maybe that's got God's attention, you know? But there's still that doubt in their mind. Is the God of Israel really paying attention? Is he really here? Are they just going through motions, you know? And so did God hear Solomon's prayer? Of course, we know he did. We know by faith that he did, but the scriptures bring out something even more. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
As soon as Solomon ended his prayer, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifice. The priest could not enter the temple because of the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. When all the children of Israel saw the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever."
Amen. Thank you, brother. So not only did God expect faith to be manifested by his people, by Solomon, but God gave evidence to support their faith. Fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and then the glory of God filled the house. In other words, he was going into the temple into the most holy place where his presence would dwell. And the priests could not even enter into the temple because of the glory of God. So to the Israelites, this was evidence to back up their faith. To the non-Israelites, this was evidence that the God of Israel was real. That he hears prayers, he answers prayers. And that means if he's real, he has a law. And if he has a law, if we break it, we committed sin. And if we committed sin, then we're going to have the displeasure of this living God. But then the Spirit would bring back the substance of Solomon's prayer. That if we sin, we go to God in repentance and he will forgive. Marvelous events took place that day. Not just the preaching in a prayer to all the people gathered there, but the manifestation that the God of Israel was a living God. And there's no way that you could hide fire coming down from heaven. There's no way you can hide glory filling the temple. So even the heathen that were on the surrounding mountains that were watching this gathering, they saw it. They may not have been able to hear the prayer, but they saw this manifestation. So God of heaven is a living God. And he's the same today as he was back then. He is good. His mercy endureth forever. Any other thoughts or comments or questions, dear ones?
Well, if Solomon had a Vimana, he probably had a speaker system too. Jonathan Gray says he had a flying machine. And in that flying machine, he went to South America, Brazil, and back. They probably had stuff that the Bible didn't add in, you know. Who knows?
I was thinking of another time when God sent fire down from heaven. And not only consumed the sacrifice, but all the water that had been poured around it.
Amen. Amen. On Mount Carmel. And that again was the manifestation to the heathen as well as to the Israelites that God is a living God and he has a law. And if we commit sin and break that law, then we go to God for forgiveness. And notice that Solomon was bringing out in his prayer not so much the sacrificial system that was in place. I mean, he didn't say that if an individual breaks your law, let him bring a lamb of the, you know, he didn't go into that. He says, let him pray towards this place where you dwell and ask you for forgiveness and forgive them. So it's the same kind of situation here, although God doesn't dwell in any literal temple on this earth because we're in the new covenant period. But the idea of going to God and asking him to forgive you for sinning is the new covenant experience. So amen. Mount Carmel was another manifestation of fire from God consuming the sacrifice and the stones and the water, although here it doesn't say it that it consumed the stones and all. But it was an evidence to back up faith. Any other thoughts or comments?
Oh, happy Sabbath to everyone. Also, God will rain fire on those who receive the mark of the beast.
And welcome, dear sister. Happy Sabbath to you.
Happy Sabbath.
And that is true. God will, after the 1,000 years, fire from God comes down and consumes the wicked. At the second coming, it's the intense brightness of the coming of Christ that destroys the wicked. So, fire is a symbol of something that totally consumes, purifies. And that's exactly what God wants to do within each one of us, to purify our hearts, that we may be cleansed. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Then king and people offered sacrifices before the Lord. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God, 2 Chronicles 7:1-5. For 7 days the multitudes from every part of the kingdom, from the borders of Hamath unto the river of Egypt, a very great congregation, kept a joyous feast. The week following was spent by the happy throng in observing the Feast of Tabernacles. At the close of the season of reconstruction and rejoicing, the people returned to their homes, glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people, verses 8 and 10.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. So there was no doubt in any Israelite mind that God had heard, had answered, and had blessed Israel by inhabiting the temple that was built for his glory. To the heathen, there's always doubts, but they had witnessed something that was so completely different from any of their so-called gods that they could not deny that the God of Israel was real. And it was a cause for rejoicing to Israel. God has heard our prayer. He has consented to dwell among us. We have God with us. And that was a cause for joy and merriment. Not just 1 week, but 2 weeks. And you could imagine the Feast of Tabernacles, how wonderful that feast season was. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones?
Yeah, it's interesting the timing, isn't it? That sounds like it was the Day of Atonement when this was taking place in terms of the calendar year. You got a week afterward, the Feast of Tabernacles, 10th day of the 7th month, Day of Atonement. Interesting when you think about it, because that ultimately wraps up the plan of redemption, antitypically in our day, and of course for them who have died in the Lord. Investigated judgment first for the dead and the living to follow.
Amen. Good point. And that could have been one of the reasons why Solomon's prayer dealt so much on recognizing sin, confessing sin, and having it forgiven. Excellent point, brother. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
The king had done everything within his power to encourage the people to give themselves wholly to God and his service and to magnify his holy name. And now once more, as at Gibeon early in his reign, Israel's ruler was given evidence of divine acceptance and blessing. In a night vision, the Lord appeared to him with the message, "I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice." If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I then will hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever. And mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Verses 12 to 16. I like the way that he says, now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. He's using Solomon's words. He's repeating Solomon's words and saying, I will do exactly what you have asked.
Amen. So did that mean that only prayers that were directed towards the temple at that time, God would hear?
Well, he didn't say that only prayers that were directed toward the temple. He just said, if they turn from their wicked ways and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land.
Amen. Amen. So, again, we're dealing with the Old Covenant. And in the Old Covenant, God dwelt in a physical building or tent. But that was only so he could be close to his people, because God cannot be contained within any particular building or tent or spot in the world. He's beyond limitation. But because this house had been built and he had accepted the offering of this house, then his physical presence would be there so he could dwell in the midst of his people. But that's not the only place that God was dwelling, because he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. So, you know, those that are extreme in their thinking may conclude that only prayers that are directed towards the physical temple that was built for God would be heard by God. So then if the Israelite happened to be over in Egypt, then he would have to find the exact coordinates of where the temple was and position himself to send his prayers right to those coordinates before God would hear him. And that's just ridiculous. All that the Israelite had to do was to face towards whatever direction Israel was located at, and then God would accept the prayer. Or if he didn't know where the direction was, he just had to send his prayer to God, because God dwelt in heaven. And he also dwelt above the mercy seat, beneath the cherub, the golden cherub angel's wings in the ark, as the Shekinah glory. And it's the same today, dear ones. We don't have to focus anywhere in order to reach God through prayer. All we have to do is pray to him. We don't have to pray to him with our faces looking up before God will hear from heaven. We can pray to him in whatever position we may be in, and God will hear.
You know what? It's neat also. He not only gave Solomon fire from heaven and the glory filling the temple, but he also appeared to him in a night vision and told him, I've heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself. So he wanted to make sure that not only Solomon knew it, but so did everyone else, but especially caring to appear in a night vision to Solomon. That's showing that he really did accept Solomon. He loved Solomon.
Amen. Amen. And that's a really good point. Solomon prayed to God. God answered Solomon. So then when we pray to God, God hears and answers our prayers. Now, God could have just allowed Solomon to recognize that after he had prayed, then fire consumed the sacrifice and God's glory entered into the temple. That was an answer to his prayer. But here, as you mentioned, God personally came to Solomon and said, I've heard your prayer and I've accepted it. I will choose this temple and put my name there forever. And again, what is another meaning of God's name?
Amen. His presence.
His character. When Moses asked to see God, and, you know, the great I am, it was Jesus Christ. When Moses asked to see God, Christ picked Moses up in his hand, put him in the cleft of a rock there on Mount Sinai, held his hand over Moses as he passed by, and then took his hand away so Moses could see the back part of Christ as he was walking past. And Christ declared his name, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping covenant and mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin, and will by no means clear the guilty. So, as Christ passed by Moses, he declared his name, the Lord God, and then gave a delineation of his character, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, etc. So, in proclaiming the name of the Lord, he proclaimed also his character. So when Christ told Moses in vision here that I will put my name in this place forever, he was also referring to his character. And when you look at the sanctuary, you can recognize very clearly the character of the Lord. the reason that the wood was shittim wood, the reason that it was covered over with gold, the reason that the panels were put up in the way they were, and the silver cabiners and all the rings and all of the furniture in the sanctuary, its construction, its purpose, the altar and the candlestick, the ark, of course, the table of showbread, the altar of incense, all of that has a symbolic representation of the character of God. So indeed, God's character was placed in that temple or sanctuary. It's quite amazing. Any other thoughts or comments, questions, dear ones?
I was just thinking also that God is a personal God, because as he came in a night vision to Solomon, he also comes close to us. We can feel it when we're praying. We can feel it when we're singing praises to him, the hymns. He's personal. He's like, Jesus is like a brother that takes your hand and squeezes it because he's glad to be with you. That's amazing that a God is that personal.
Amen. You can love a God who's that personal. You don't have to fear him. You can be content in his presence. And there's a Bible verse that says that God dwells in the praises of his people. So when you're singing praises to God, he's there. It's quite amazing. He is indeed a personal God. So what happens next? And who would like to read the next paragraph?
Had Israel remained true to God, this glorious building would have stood forever. A perpetual sign of God's especial favor to his chosen people. The sons of the stranger, God declared, that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Isaiah 56, verses 6 and 7.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Any thoughts, questions, or comments on this paragraph?
Well, that verse kind of lets you know a house of prayer for all people. That takes in everybody that comes to God.
Amen. And now you can understand why Christ cleansed the temple, because he said, it is written, mine house shall be called an house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And he chased out all the money changers, you know, those that were stealing from the people. It was forbidden by the priests at that particular time for someone to bring their own lamb or their own turtle doves. They had to buy it from the cattle merchants or the dove merchants. And they had to buy it with the temple coin. They could not buy it with their own money from whatever region they were from. So they had to exchange whatever money they had for the temple coin. And of course, that, yeah, amen, racketeering. And then they used the temple coin to buy the lamb or the ram or the bullock or whatever for the sacrifice. So they were being gouged on the exchange rate, and they were being gouged again on the price that they paid for the sacrifice. And so this was taking place in the temple, you know, and well, the outer courts of the temple. But, and so they were taking God's house from being a house of prayer, something solemn and sacred, and making it a thieving place. And they were told that if you can't offer the sacrifice, well, then God's not going to forgive your sins. So, you know, sell your property so that you can have enough money to make a sacrifice and God will then forgive your sin. And it just was, it was a horrible situation. And then the priest would get a kickback from the proceeds. So Christ, you know, cleansed the temple of all of this trafficking. And made it once again a house of prayer. Children were singing praises to God. So if Israel had remained true to God, they would have accepted Jesus as the Messiah because they would have recognized that God not only wanted to dwell close to his people in the most holy place, but he wanted to have a more personal relationship and assumed humanity so that he could personally dwell among his people. God with us, Emmanuel. But they didn't remain faithful to God. They didn't want to accept Christ being the great I am. And the temple was destroyed. Israel is no longer God's chosen people. And the gospel now has gone to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, bringing them the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. No longer is it only for the Jews or those who joined the Jews. It is now for all people. And I think you can understand why, or one of the reasons why, God made the display so wonderful that day, with fire coming down from heaven, consuming the sacrifice, and Christ enveloped in glory, going down to the temple and entering into the most holy place. He wanted to impress it upon his people that he's real and that he will forgive sin, and thus they should keep his law. That, if they would have kept that fresh in their minds, they never would have given in to apostasy. They never would have deviated from following the true God. And then when Christ personally came to Solomon in vision and said, I've heard your prayer. I have accepted it. I will indeed bless this house and put my name there forever. It was to hopefully keep fresh within Solomon's mind that God took the time to personally come to him and speak with him. And that would have been a deterrent for any future temptations to go away from God. So when God does something marvelous in our sight, it's for the purpose of keeping it fresh in our minds and our memories so that we will not deviate from following God in the future. Any other thoughts or comments, dear one?
I was just thinking about singing praises to God, how he's right there. You can feel him when you're singing. And it's just throw a little song when you're not feeling too good, or if you're feeling worried about something, just sing a little song to God. He'll be right there with you.
Amen. Amen. And who would like to read the next paragraph?
In connection with these assurances of acceptance, the Lord made very plain the path of duty before the king. As for thee, he declared, that thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments. Then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. 2 Chronicles 7:17-18.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. And happy Sabbath, dear sister Lynn. Glad you're with us. And looking forward to a follow-up.
Yes, happy Sabbath, Sister Lynn. Welcome back. Happy Sabbath. Glad to have you.
Amen.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. I didn't mean to make an instance. I'm so sorry. I fell asleep and meant to be here on time. I do apologize. But, Ma, and I just so happy to be able to be back to fellowship with you. And we love you guys. Thank you so much for everyone who's been praying and everything. So, I'm going to be quiet now. Thank you so much. God bless you all. We love you. Ma.
Thank you so much for your prayers, everybody. We kept you in prayers as well. We missed you. We're glad to see you back again.
Amen. And I almost said I shouldn't go in. It's so late. But I guess better late than never. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry. Quiet now.
It's okay, dear sisters. We're glad to have you with us, even if it's late. And I understand about falling asleep, especially recuperating from surgery as you have. And glad your voice is so strong. Looking forward to a testimony later if we can persuade you that way. So God, in the prayer to Solomon, not only said, I've heard thy prayer, I have answered it, I'm going to dwell there in the temple, I'm going to put my name there. But he also warns Solomon and says, if you will walk before me like David your father walked and do according to all that I commanded thee, observing my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish your throne and kingdom, And there shall not fail thee a man, in other words, an offspring, to be ruler in Israel. So God here is encouraging Solomon to remain faithful. And as God knows the future, God saw that Solomon in the future would go astray. So here God is trying to do everything that he can to prevent Solomon from going astray in the future. So here we see that God recognized what Solomon may do in the future. And he was trying to head it off so that Solomon wouldn't do that in the future. So God did not want Solomon to apostatize. He wanted him to remain faithful. And so God here is intervening, if you will, in the present to try and prevent the future mishap from occurring. Isn't that a merciful God? Christ told Peter, hey, the devil desires to sift you as wheat, but I pray that your faith fail not. Pray with me. Watch. Christ was encouraging Peter to remain faithful to prevent Peter's denial of him that was coming later in the night or earlier in the morning, the next morning. So when God works in your life in a marvelous way, he may be doing so to prevent you from a big fall in the future. And so when God takes the time to visit you, it's not just for the present benefit that he's doing so. It's also for the future benefit if you can keep the memory of his mercy fresh in your mind. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones? And who would like to read the next paragraph? And I think we'll stop after this one. And please feel free.
Had Solomon continued to serve the Lord in humility, his entire reign would have exerted a powerful influence for good over the surrounding nations, nations that had been so favorably impressed by the reign of David, his father, and by the wise words and magnificent works of the earlier years of his own reign. Foreseeing the terrible temptations that attend prosperity and worldly honor, God warned Solomon against the evil of apostasy and foretold the awful results of sin. Even the beautiful temple that had just been dedicated, he declared, would become a proverb and a byword among all nations should the Israelites forsake the Lord God of their fathers and persist in idolatry. Verses 20-22.
Amen. Amen. So God even went further here and predicted the future. He warned Solomon that if Israel forsakes me, then this beautiful temple that I've said I would put my name there forever will no longer be blessed or protected by me, and it will become a proverb and a byword or a mocking among all nations. And that is exactly what has happened. The temple is no more. A foundation wall is there, but none of the above walls of the temple or the buildings of the temple are there, just a supporting wall. So the temple is no more. It has indeed become a proverb and a byword among all nations, because Israel forsook God. Let us make sure that we don't forsake the Lord, or we will be set aside, just as Israel was, and others will be chosen to take our place, just as the Gentiles were chosen to take the place of Israel. God is the same. He doesn't change. How he dealt with his people in the past is exactly how he is dealing with his people in the present. So let us take the warning that Christ gave to Solomon and apply it to our own lives. And let us keep fresh in our memory the merciful kindness of our Lord, so that this will help us avoid departing from him in the future and losing our reward. We'll find out more next time in what takes place next. But can you imagine seeing fire coming down from a blue sky and God enveloped in glory going in to the temple, and then having a vision from God in the night where he talks with us? What an impressive day that was. Are there any thoughts or comments, questions, testimonies, songs? Anything else you'd like to share, dear ones?
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Can you hear me? All right. Good. I wanted to thank everybody for your prayers for Sister Lynn. And I appreciate it. I didn't know exactly how to send everybody a request, but God is good and it went right through. So thank you, everybody. As you know, there's a lot of power in prayer, so I was happy about that. I don't know if anyone knows, but she is home for right now. Praise the Lord. But unfortunately, this is just a mild stepping stone, because when they were doing imaging, like MRIs or whatever they did on her, they also found another problem. I'm sorry, did someone write something? I didn't read it. I can't read and see at the same time on the phone. Brother Rob, did somebody ask a question?
No, I said Sister Lynn is here with us now.
Oh, she's here. Right now she's in. Oh, okay. Awesome. I can't see everything on the phone. We have such bad connections. I couldn't even get in, and half of the time I can't even get on the phone, so praise the Lord here. But I'm happy she's there. I didn't see if she was in or not, but praise the Lord, and that brought her through another day. But unfortunately, you know, she has more stepping stones to go through. They found other things wrong with her. And I want to continue it, keep her in prayer. And, you know, everything's in God's hands. And so thank you once again. Also, I want to praise the Lord that there's an elderly friend of me, of mine, that has a couple of friends that have gardens, big gardens in Tampa. And I was given 25 pounds of cauliflower. I was given four huge, like the size of basketball cabbages, plantains. Not only the plantains didn't come from their garden, but regardless. And a couple of other things that they gave me. And they had they asked me, they said, well, what can you do with 25 pounds of cauliflower? And I said, well, I said, this is what I intend to do. I made a half a gallon of raw cauliflower soup. I said I dehydrated some of the other cauliflower. Other ones I put up in quart-sized vacuum-sealed bags and froze them. And I said, and as far as the cabbage, I said I dehydrated one of the whole cabbages and put that away because I keep them, I always dehydrate something. I made a half a gallon of lacto-fermented sauerkraut. It's, you know, naturally fermented sauerkraut, not cooked or anything where it kills everything. At least it's a living food. And I said, and the rest of it I shredded up and I put in vacuum seal bags and that's in the freezer. So the lady said to me, she said, boy, you're very busy. And then the plantains, of course, I fried them up. Some of them are savory and some are sweet as a treat. You know, something different. And these people are in their 80s, all of these. They said, wow. They said, you did all this? I said, yes. And then I showed them all my sprouts that I have growing. And they said, wow, how do you do that? So now I have one of the older gentlemen. they're all in their 80s. They're learning how to sprout. They all just ordered sprouting trays from an old company that I used to deal with many years ago. Two of them have just bought dehydrators. And it's pretty cool to watch all these people that are older folks learn how to do these things. And even with the sprouts, they said, well, what do you do with them? Can you grow your garden? You know, do you just grow them and just eat them like that? So I sent Sister Lynn a picture, poor dear. She can't eat anything solid yet, but I had made a whole wheat type of a pita bread, and I made a spread, and then I had a big sandwich, a sprout sandwich. They said, wow, you eat that? I said, yes, I do. So imagine this. These folks were so interested in this. And it amazes me to see their smiles. They were so happy. And they said, well, next time we get some more vegetables, you have to tell us how you do different things. And I was speaking to Sister Lynn this evening. She had some cucumbers. I said, did you know that you can dehydrate and make little chips out of them? No, I didn't. She loves chips. So I like to teach everybody a little bit different because that's how I live. I live pretty much what I grow. And I want to praise the Lord. The porch that I had built when I was, when I first moved here, it's not very big. It's about 300 square foot. But the way I had it built is that it's technically no different than the format of a greenhouse. So with all this going on, you know, the chemicals out in the dirt's out here and God knows what's coming our way with everything else. I said, well, I took half of that and I converted it into a greenhouse. So I have like aero gardens where you grow little hyponic tomatoes and things. And my sprouting trays are everywhere. And I found out from some, from an Asian lady, she showed me how to take cabbages that were given to me and then regrow cabbage from the core. Now, I didn't know you could do that. And I thought it would just be like when you have celery or you have green onions, if you put them in water, the green onions will grow, the tops of them will grow, and celery the same way. But I didn't know you could do that with cabbage. And I think that's pretty cool. You know, I think that's awesome. And I believe last year, Sister Michelle sent me some pumpkin seeds. So praise the Lord, this year I'm getting ready to, I think this is the time of year in Florida, in March, that they start planting pumpkin seeds. And I remember she had sent me some, so praise the Lord. I was like, I was so happy to hear that. And if anybody else has any kind of seeds in their garden, if they have extra, I would like to have some. If you'd like, I can pay for the shipping. And because it's kind of hard where I am. The places aren't really selling a lot of seeds. And even some of the regular stores out here, like the garden centers, they're very low on things, and they have been very poor in the location where I'm at. And I don't have a way to get into other towns. It's just too far away from where I live. So I'm trying to accrue whatever I can, and whenever I can get some, I save the seeds, you know, bell peppers or, you know, whatever the case may be. But I was so happy to find the pumpkin seeds from Sister Michelle. Oh, I love pumpkins. And I was telling Sister Lynn tonight, I said, that and some butternut squash, and I'm fine. So I praise the Lord that he has provided me with every single thing that I always need, a lot of things that I want. And even with the prayers, for Sister Lynn, this is the first time I've ever solicited prayer on a bigger scale. So thank you for everything. I appreciate it. And I praise God for all things. Hugs and love. Bye. Sabbath blessings.
Blessed Sabbath. Oh, I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. Thank you, Susan. Thank you.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. It's so good to see everybody again, and praising the Lord to be able to just say thank you, thank you, thank you for your prayers and for your concern and for all of the loving care that you have submitted and solicited towards my mom and myself and my brothers. And, you know, even my brothers have kind of pitched in. My brother after myself, Isaac Norman, has been, God touched his heart. You know, my surgery this past Monday, I had to be to the hospital at 6 a.m., which means I had to leave my house like at 4:30. And he came. You know, so I praise the Lord and thank him for that. And stayed the whole time. And I had tried to type up messages of who to send what to. And bless his heart, I believe he did try and follow my request, you know, because I prepared everything I didn't know. I mean, we always, in James, it tells us that we're to say, if the Lord will, this or that. I'm paraphrasing because, you know, it was going to be very invasive procedure. It doesn't look like anything's wrong with me, but everything was done on the inside. And so the healing is still continuing, and I praise God for that. And I don't want to draw this out, but I did want to praise the Lord for his unmerited favor. You know, I put a text in the room, you know, Isaiah 63, verse 7. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. And truly, I'm not worthy. I never feel worthy. I never will feel worthy, because only God is worthy, you know. And the way he brought me through the surgery, I can only praise him and thank him, because honestly, as a lot of you know, I mentally was not handling the situation well. I really wasn't. And I, you know, I feel ashamed, you know, and I struggled and I wrestled with the Lord to please help me to just let go of all of my fear and everything and just trust him. And even my primary care physician, I saw her today. She said that she, in her studies with medicine, when she was in med school and things like that, had heard of the condition echolasia, but she had never had a patient to have echolasia. I said, oh my goodness, so that means I'm a trailblazer, eh? Okay. So to speak, she said, because now if ever there's another patient that comes through, she can let them know the POM, which is the surgery, it's a perioral, how does it go? P-E-O-M, perioral esophageal myotomy, which is where they cut into the lining of the esophagus and go down to the top portion of the stomach and open that up so that there is a passageway so that you can be able to swallow and assimilate the food, which was what was causing the weight loss. They didn't know if it was cancer because there was significant weight loss, which I need to, you know, I need to, but, you know, not this way. And so now afterwards to be able to, even though it's still clear liquids, not just clear liquids, but liquids now, it feels weird not to have to open up my medicines and dump them in some tea and let them dissolve to be able to see if it can go down. I've actually been able to take my medicines, the full little capsules or what have you. Wow. So, and swallow it without there being any problem and not have, not to gross anybody out, but for it to come back up, I'll put it that way so it won't sound so bad. You know, I used to have like little spit buckets and things like that. Unfortunately, Susan is aware and she's been so kind, like my biological sister used to always lovingly fix my little buckets for me. And, that might be a thing of the past and praise the Lord for that. I did have and again, I'm going to praise God for everything because he knows all and his will be done in all. There was a little hiccup, if you will, when I saw my doctor today and she had been calling me. And when I got there, the representative, her office manager says, oh, I'm going to be upset with you. I didn't know something was wrong. You didn't return my calls. And these phones are so weird nowadays. I didn't get her call. And I was just calling because I knew that I had to follow up with her after surgery. And she said, yeah, the doctor really wanted to see you. So come to find out on one of the initial, I guess, testings, MRI, CR, whatever it was, been through so many different testings lately, October, November-ish, apparently they found in, as you know, I already have sarcoidosis, which they don't know what causes that. It's little tumors that can attach to anywhere in your body. And apparently it had started in my lungs years ago, like 1990, something like that. So on this latest image, she says she didn't really want to say anything to me before because she knew that I was really apprehensive and just really not wanting to go through with the POM procedure and scared about that and things like that. But now that I had come through it, that she did need to bring to my attention what they found in my lungs, especially my right lung, that apparently the sarcoid, I don't know why, but she says that there was significant scarring in both of my lungs and that there's a nodule or some kind of something in my lower right lobe of my right lung and that it needs to be addressed. And I was like, oh, lovely. Really? I'm just getting ready to go back to work. And I said, look, can this be, I don't, you know, feel anything right now. I don't have any symptoms with this. She says, look, jobs will be there. When you talk about lungs, heart, this is your life. And I really need you to see a specialist because we need to get this addressed. She says, you don't want to wait until you start having shortness of breath or, God forbid, a collapsed lung, et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, oh, Okay. So, you know, again, God's will be done. I have to call Monday for an appointment with the lung specialist and see what's going on there. And one of the things is with steroids, high steroids, and I forget the other medicine that they have. And, you know, it's like it can put weight back on you. I'm like, no, I'm trying to go in the opposite direction. I don't want to take the stuff that's going to blow me up overnight. No. Anyway, I, my dear brethren, I tell you, it's a rocky road, and I don't know. It's just a path that, whatever is God's will, you know, and I pray that his perfect will be done always, you know. So to my dearest ones out there that are beyond special to my heart, there are a few that know who they are in particular, my auntie and, you know, some others there in the room, my sister and things like that. But you know who you are. I thank you so much for your prayers. I thank you so much for your concern. You know, I thank you so much for even beautiful flowers that were sent and all of that. You know who you are. Thank you so much. It is all appreciated. I don't want to seem ungrateful in any way, shape, or form. Thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the solicited prayers. Thank you for continued prayers, if you will, as my mom and I continue to keep you all in prayer. And you know, I pray to handle whatever is this new world that I'm getting ready to embark on, to handle it with as God's will be done and with as much dignity as possible by God's grace, and not to be afraid, you know, because God is not the author of fear. It's just that where all of these things are taking place in my body is really scary because so many things can happen, you know. Even the surgeon herself, before going into surgery on Monday, it could have been that there would have been significant blood loss or, you know, puncturing of one of the arteries around the esophagus. I mean, so many things that could have happened. But God is the ultimate physician, the ultimate surgeon. And so his perfect will be done. And I guess I kind of was maybe not even going to say anything about the latest situation, but Susan kind of prefaced it. So I said, okay, I'll let you know, because more prayer, more power. Amen. And, you know, I'm not looking for sympathy. It's just that I can't help what's going on with my body or what they find. You know, I have no control over it. They don't know what causes achalasia. They don't know what causes the sarcoid. And, you know, I praise God for the years that he has given me thus far. And as I said to my boss, you know, even he had sent me a text. I was just being discharged on Wednesday. He says, how was I doing? And hopefully, you know, to be back to work soon. And I said, by God's grace, hope to be there Monday, which is when I was discharged, to go back Monday. And I just hate that I have to go back and say that, you know, I not only have to have a follow-up with my esophagus, they have to go in there and make sure that insides have healed and the sutures have dropped the way they're supposed to. But now I have this issue with my lungs. And but again, you know, God is good. And as I've said to him before, you know, if this is what takes me out, then, you know, praise him. His will be done. You know, he's let me live how many more years more than my sister by God's grace. You know, he let me see 63 years, and I praise him for that. And so his will be done. And I was so scared, if you will, leaving my mom, because she was going to be by herself for at least the first day of my being in surgery and in the hospital and everything. But God just came through. I mean, the brethren rallied around dear Sister Rose, dear Sister Susan. You know, they... They made sure, did you take your medicine? Are you okay? Is everything all right? You know, and my brother Wes came in Monday evening. I was obviously still in the hospital, but I was just glad to know that he was in the house. And so he is still here. So, you know, God is good, and I praise him for blessing seen and unseen. So with that, I'll be quiet. Did you want to say anything more? As always, she's like, you've said enough. So anyway, just giving a little bit of update. Love you guys so much. And big hugs to all of you, all right? God bless you.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister, for your testimony. Praise God that the swallowing issue is much better than what it was. And as dear sister Susan said, it's a stepping stone. So we know that there's more surgeries or intervention to occur. And we'll definitely be continuing to uphold you in prayer, dear sister. We'll include the sarcoidosis, that the doctor mentioned you have and the scarring there. And we have the precious promise that God will not allow you to go through more than what you're able to endure or to bear, because he will provide a way of escape for the extra. And that extra, that escape, is Jesus. He's our burden bearer. So all of that care, all of that fear, anxiety, all of that burden, lay at his feet. He'll bear it for you. You'll escape it. So you can definitely trust in him. Yeah, amen. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Amen. But let's have a special prayer for you now, dear sister. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great news regarding our dear sister and her ability to swallow, even though it's liquids now, but swallow so much more easier than she was able to before. We pray, dear Savior, that as her great physician, you'll continue to bring relief to her in this area. And since you are bringing relief to her in this area, then that should bring courage that and rest and confidence that you can also bring relief in other areas as well, such as in the sarcoidosis. Pray that you'll continue to strengthen her, continue to lead her to look up from whence cometh her help, and to remember that the joy of the Lord is her strength. Thank you again so much for thy merciful kindness in this, and we pray that thy mercy will continue. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
Amen, amen. So beautiful. Thank you again and again. And as requested, we'll try. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is promised of God. But God is faithful. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, but
will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear.
Be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Thank you. See, even in that, I need your help. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister. I was unaware that that was actually a scripture song, so praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah, I first heard it on your website, bro. You've got it in your scripture songs. It was probably done years ago. It's probably why. Well, she sounds just the same. Sister Lynn, praise the Lord.
Well, amen. Yeah, we have over 300 scripture songs, so I guess I better go brush up on some of them. I had forgotten we had that one. So thank you for singing it, dear sister. Are there any other thoughts or comments or testimonies or songs that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones?
Praise the Lord for Sister Lynn's testimony. What a wonderful testimony, and amen for that.
Amen. I shared this with Brother Bob, but I feel like everyone else misses out if I don't repeat it. I had a phone call yesterday. Her name is Maria, and she said, I'd like some books. Oh, I said, she said, I'm Maria. I don't know if you remember me, but you gave me a great controversy at the door. And she told me where it was, and I did not quite remember her. And she was really excited. I was thinking now, I wish I asked her how far she read it, if she read it all. But anyway, she wants another copy to give to her friend. And she also wants information on the mark of the beast. So she's asked for what is the mark of the beast, and I'm going to bring something else because I suspected she might wanted a bigger book because it's only a small booklet. So that was exciting. I told her, it's not every day people actually respond and give sort of like a review like you have. So this is a first. Thank you for sharing that. And I'll see her, Lord willing, Monday. So that was exciting. And I got to give out 23 great controversies, which was great. I got a couple of talks, an atheist, a Russian Orthodox, and a number of other individuals. So that's interesting. You never know when you're going to be stopped for an hour or two or three. Or maybe four. It hasn't reached four yet. Not yet, anyway. But praise the Lord. And I've got paid out from my workplace, so that's really good in a way. That helps a lot, you know, getting your annual leave, even though they've taken your job away. So who knows? Maybe justice will be done as well in the process in the time to come, because I allowed them to terminate me. With the idea that when it's seen as illegal, if it's seen as illegal, they might have some sort of recompense in order. But God's will be done. I was telling Lucy, I think this is exciting, Lucy. I get to go door knocking, doing what we love to do, and that's share the truth in a variety of ways. I mean, what more can you ask? And if need be, I'll just support myself, Lord willing, with little jobs if necessary. But it's been a really different year for me. It's exciting. And I think we can all say that. I'm so glad to hear about you, Sister Lynn. And may this long time problem be a thing of the past where you can forget it, but it's in a good way. Because you don't have that problem ever affecting you. We will be keeping you in prayer. And praise the Lord, the prayer hearing and prayer answering God we serve by his grace. In Jesus' name.
If I could also add a little bit, and this is just, again, a testimony to God's amazing grace. Perhaps many of you also remember many times when, of course, and I still will never feel worthy of God's love and protection and et cetera, et cetera. But I never feel that I do enough witnessing, you know. And one of my cousins, this happened before I went into surgery, called me. Interestingly enough, I guess it was like the day before, so that would have been the Sunday before the 27th of February. And she said she wanted to just thank me so much. She says, thank you, sweet cuz. I'm like, okay, what did I do? She says, you gave my mom, my aunt, she has since passed, a book called Promises for the Latter Days. And I didn't even remember it. And she said that it has been a blessing to her. It's a spirit of prophecy book. And it's kind of basically quotes from like steps to Christ and things like that. And I didn't even remember it from 1999. She said that I gave it to her and that it had been such a blessing to her and to a women's group that she was leading out that particular Sabbath evening or something, and they all were weeping and praying and thanking. And she mentioned that her cousin was the one, or myself, that had given her that, and I didn't even remember I had done that. And so I praise God that, you know, a lot of times we don't realize what we do. And like you say, dear brother, you know, you're handing out literature, and praise God for that and keeping that in prayer for you. And you don't know, you know, how it will be returned, you know. And my mom, if she doesn't beat me across the head for saying this, but my thing is, she's devouring Spirit of Prophecy right now, brother. And my thing is, I mean, for years I've given it and prayed, you know, and asked for, you know, opening of understanding. And, you know, one time, again, before my surgery, and I had the book, Last Day Events. Because I just tend to be a bookaholic, and so I have books all over the place. But it was just laying on top of my windowsill. And she says, oh, what's this? And again, I hadn't realized that I had written through it as I usually do when I'm going through the books and things like that. And she's been going through like wildfire. She's finished Healthful Living. She's doing, you know, all of these different books and things. And she says, you know what? We need to open up the windows. We need to get some air in here. We need to have sunlight. You know, the book says we're supposed to have a lot more air, fresh air coming in. I'm like, you're so right, Mom. You're so right. And that, she's scolding me now. She says, shut up. But I have to say this because this is a blessing from God, you know, because, I mean, and I felt then, you know, I said, oh, man, does this mean that I'm getting ready to go for real? Because he's letting me see how some of my little efforts are paying off. But praise God, he's still allowing me to be here. But I just wanted to thank him, you know, because sometimes you don't know what you give out, how actually it really affects the lives of others. And I praise him for that as well.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And dear brother, we'll be keeping all of those who received literature and books and so on in our prayers. And praise the Lord, dear Sister Ma, Sister Dot, that you are devouring the Spirit of Prophecy. That is wonderful. And dear Sister Lynn, if you happen to push the boundaries a little more and your mother has to come after you, you're letting her get exercise. That's one of the 8 laws of health. That's fantastic. So praise the Lord. We'll be keeping that in our prayers as well. Are there any other thoughts or comments or testimonies that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please go right ahead. Well, I have a testimony to share. For about a month or so, I've been in communication with a dear sister in Pennsylvania. And she attended one of my meetings, or the first meeting I gave in Pennsylvania back in 1987. She still remembers it. She still has kept the faith. And she wanted to have meetings in her area to be able to share present truth both with Adventists and non-Adventists. And the this past week, the dates were finalized, the meeting hall has been secured, and meetings are going to be taking place in Western New York. So please keep that in prayer. There's going to be both Adventists and non-Adventists, and so the message has to be geared towards both groups. And so I ask for your prayers in that regard. And once the meeting hall area and the timings and so on are set in stone, per se, then I'll let you know more. But it's going to take place in the latter part of April. And again, this is in Western New York. So I think it's about 2 hours or so, maybe 3 hours from New York City. So it'd be nice to see some familiar faces, but that's in the Lord's hands. Anyway, thank you for your prayers in this regard, and I'll let you know more in the near future. So thank you.
So you planted the seeds back in the 1980s, huh? Wow. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, 1987. That was a long time ago. But if I remember correctly, there was about 12 or so people that came. She was one of them. And none of the others kept in contact, but this one particular dear lady received the message, has kept the message, even though she dropped out of communication. But the Lord impressed her heart that she needed to do something to witness to her relatives and her other Adventist friends, and so she communicated. I had the same email, I had the same phone number and had the same address. And so she was able to communicate in that way. And praise the Lord. Things are working out to have meetings in that area. So, yeah, you never know. 1987 is a long time ago. But God is good. Well, dear ones, are there any last thoughts that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead.
Can we sing the song All Safely Through Another Week?
Sure, dear sister. We'll make this our closing prayer. Let me bring it up here in the room. And dear Sister Chaka, would you like to take the first verse?
Yes. Safely through another week, God has brought us on our way. Let us now regret our seat, waiting in his courts to care. Nay, of all the weak, the best, ever on eternal rest. Day of all the week, the best, ever on eternal rest. Wow.
Amen. Mercies multiplied each hour through the week, our praise demand. Guarded by almighty power, fed and guided by his hand. Though ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin. Though ungrateful we have been, only made returns of sin.
While we pray for pardoning grace through the dear Redeemer's name, show thy reconciled face, turn away our sin and shame. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this night with thee. From our worldly cares set free, may we rest this night with thee.
Go Lynn,
whisper, waiting to hear from you.
Dear brother, okay. When the morn shall bid us rise, may we feel thy presence near. May thy glory meet our eyes when we in thy house appear. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast. There afford us, Lord, a taste of the everlasting feast. Amen.
May the gospel's joyful sound conquer sinners, comfort saints. May the fruits of grace abound, bring relief for all complaints. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove, till we join the church above. Thus may all our Sabbaths prove, till we join the church above.
Amen. And we can join that church above here on this earth through Jesus Christ and thus be part of that church of the firstborn even now. What a Savior. It is now time for closing prayer, and who would like to offer that for our service? Please go right ahead.
Precious Father in heaven, thank you for the fellowship of your Spirit. Thank you for showing us Jesus in the Old Testament through prophets and kings, and the comfort of knowing the whole plan of redemption then was clearly understood. It involved repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ in embryo through the sacrificial service. Thank you, Jesus, that it's a reality that we look to you in reality, because you have come, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, and the reality of us not bringing a literal lamb or a goat, clean animal to sacrifice, help us grasp the significance that all these, the types, the symbols, the ceremonies, the sacrificial ceremonial services are pointing to you. Help us, give us more of thy spirit to contemplate the reality of what it means to be cleansed by thy blood, thy most precious blood, and recognize in it what happens when sinning, the piercing that goes on, what we're piercing, who has died for us so that we might live without that which brings death. Thank you for continuing to be with our dear Sister Lynn and Sister Ma in Florida and sisters that have helped them, and the dear brother, Isaac Norman, who came to help with traveling. We pray that this experience that they're going through and the future for them, as we want for each and every one of us as individuals and for us as home churches, that will bring us closer, constant approaching to God through Jesus Christ, in trusting you more, in growing more to understand what it means to take your promises just as they read, when we're doing thy will by the Spirit's power and by the word of God. Please continue to be with that which has to be looked at yet with Sister Lynn, and thank you that it is being recognized. The scarring, the particular issue was the sarcoidosis and the issues of making it come to pass what needs to be done so she can return to normal. Thank you that we could hear her voice today and her singing, and Sister Lynn, Sister Chaka, brethren and sisters, it's so important, these meetings. It's like we can't meet around the corner. We can't drive our car and meet up. But we can try to round the cyberspace corner and meet. And this is important because your spirit, the gathering together with one another is important. And I know you know this. That's why it's told to beware of forsaking the gathering together as the manner of some was in Paul's day, almost 2,000 years ago. We wished our brethren and sisters that couldn't make it the richest blessings to attend your Sabbath day, and our brethren and sisters that are the frontier of missionaries around the world to be empowered on, to know that although the world seems to be against them, greater is he that's with us and in us than is in the world. And the work will be completed very soon. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And thank you, dear brother. Well, dear ones, are there any last thoughts that you'd like to share before Brother Dick sings us away? Please feel free.
I see flashes there with you.
Yeah, he heard us singing and then praying, and he jumped on the table and was headbutting me during prayer. So he didn't want to miss out. He wanted to be here.
Hugs and love, Sister Susan.
Night all. God bless. I can't always see everybody or can't always read everything, but I praise the Lord for you. I see you. There you are. Yay. Because sometimes I can't see everything. Hugs and love to you all. Bye-bye.
So is there going to be a day when you get a computer, sis?
Well, my dear, the best answer for that is probably not. Because that means I would have to have the internet in my house, and that would be something that I couldn't afford. So, with that said, I'm happy and able to get onto the church group on the phone, and I'm happy with that as well.
Oh, I understand. I personally don't have the internet. I use my iPad, which you probably can't see because you're on your phone. But I've got my iPad, and that's my hotspot. So it turns into my internet connection for the computer. But I understand, depending on what plan you're on, I understand this.
Amen. Well, however you're able to join us, dear sister, we're glad you're here. And praise the Lord. Well, dear ones, have a wonderful night's sleep. And if you're on the other side of the world, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath day. You are all in our prayers and thoughts. Thank you for your prayers and thoughts for me and mine. And we look forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. Until then, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.